Today we are talking about why couples fight about money and why the real issue is not often the numbers, and how a husband and wife can become a united front around debt, saving, family pressure, and building generational wealth. And I'm really excited today because I have Michael Dillard with us today. Michael is a retired US diplomat, personal finance educator, speaker, author, and host of the Saver podcast, where he helps couples and families improve their finances through communication, teamwork, debt reduction, retirement planning, and simple financial strategies. Michael, welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast.
Hey, I'm excited to be part of this podcast. I've been waiting to get on a podcast where we're focusing on couples, helping them to stop living paycheck to paycheck so that they can build generational wealth. I'm excited, Pessa, for this episode.
Yes, me too. This is a great, this conversation about money, it's one of those topics that usually look very practical on the surface, but in marriage, it touches everything. I'm talking about trust, control, safety, how to raise your kids, where you came from, different cultures, even in-laws. And a lot of couples, again, think it's just a money problem. But I've read from your website, and I know it's actually a unity problem. And because most of the time, the couples are not on the same side of the table. So I want to talk a little bit about how can we stop fighting each other and start fighting the financial problem together?
Yeah, I got a couple answers for you. So I'm going to provide short tidbits. I got like 8 different pieces of pointers that y'all can use. So listeners, listen up. Yes. The first thing I think about is something that I'm offering to your guests is the money personality quiz. What the quiz does, and it's a free resource, it has two couples come together at the same time to take the money personality quiz. Here's what they're gonna learn, Pessa, is that one person, when they get money like this, they like to give it away. They just like to give money away, okay?
You're right.
Then you have the other person in the relationship. They get money, they wanna go out to eat, they wanna go on vacation, they wanna buy new clothes. It doesn't matter, they just wanna keep buying new stuff.
Yes.
Then you got the spouse that when they get money, they take that money and they take it underneath the pillow and they just saving it for a rainy day emergency. They're just expecting something to happen so they can have it. Yep. And then you have the investor. They get the money and they're like, look, let me invest money for the future. Let me invest in the stock market so that we can retire early. Now, each person is different. What that means is nobody's wrong. But as a couple, if you don't know your spouse's money personality preference, then you're always going to have miscommunication. But when you realize that one person is an investor and the other person likes to go on vacations, next time you get a $10,000 bonus, you already know what to do. You're going to split half for yourself and half for your partner. So you're both happy. It's 50-50.
Yes. Oh, so you are in a way, you're going to start working as a team and say, okay, we'll take care of you and the other person.
Exactly.
And what about somebody who says, you know, my way, it's either my way or the highway. It's either we invest or nothing will happen. What do you say for that?
You're going to have a marriage that's going to have a lot of rocky times. Because have you ever noticed sometimes when somebody tells you how to go from point A to B, and then along the way, you get lost, you forgot the way? All you got to do is stop and ask for help. But you're like, no, no, it's just around the corner. It's just around the corner. Next thing you know, it takes you an extra 30 minutes to get there. What that means is that sometimes you're wrong, sometimes you're right. Sometimes your spouse is wrong. Sometimes your spouse is right. So why would one person in the marriage be like, it's my way or the highway? It's not a good thing. It's not a good ride. Nobody likes to be dragged along saying, hey, you're going to eat the ice cream. You're going to eat the broccoli. You're going to eat the spinach. Some people don't like to eat vegetables. They want fruit.
They don't like it. Yeah. So that is like very important. And we deal with, for cross-cultural couples, you might find one person says, my parents need help. We need to help them. No questions asked. We have to help my parents.
Yes.
And then the other spouse might be saying, you know what? We are drowning in debt. We are drowning financially. That is not even an issue right now. We cannot be helping other people while we are drowning. We need to take care of ourselves first. So how should a couple handle that?
Well, that's something, as you know, it comes up a lot of times in interracial marriages, especially if one spouse is from an overseas company where, I mean, overseas culture where it's expected. If you get out the country and you're living abroad where there's supposedly more dollars to help out, dollars is just on the street where you just pick up money everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go, yeah.
You're expected to pay for those school fees, right?
Yes.
You're expected to help out with the wedding, with all the different celebrations, with their funeral. You was part of the community. Now somebody passed away. They need a little help because everybody takes care of everybody as a community.
Yes.
Now, when you got married, you should have had that conversation. And that's why, Pessa, I'm glad you have this podcast. That shows you why marriages, before you get married, you need to talk to a personal finance coach to make sure that y'all are on the same page when it comes to money. Because there's a stat that says that most couples end up in divorce because of M-O-N-E-Y. Now, what I say to that is that couples who have different parental responsibilities, and they just have to work it out. Like it's... You can't predict every single thing. You can't predict how you're going to spend your money every single time. But you have to look at your spouse and say, look, this person believes in taking care of their parents. This person believes in taking care of their cousins, nephews who are struggling, living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
I'm willing to sacrifice not going out to eat at the nice restaurant to help somebody else have a little bit better life, to have food on the table. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's a balance. Another person in the marriage is like, look, $100 is fine, but when we're spending $500-$600, you know, there's a saying that I heard that if you invest $500 a month in the S&P 500 at a 9% rate of return, you can retire with $1.5 million after 35 years.
Wow.
So it is something to consider to say, let's have a balance. 50% giving, 50%
investing.
Guess what? You're not 100% happy, and they're not 100% happy. So you both feel the same way.
Oh, I like that. I like the fact that everything you're talking about is there has to be some sort of a teamwork. And that's what we teach. You have to work it out. We are not saying one way is bad, the other way is bad, good. No, we are saying, as you are saying, 50% investing, 50% you can help family. And you have this saver philosophy. And can you explain it a little bit to the married couples, especially the ones who right now feel very overwhelmed financially? What is this saver philosophy?
Yes, great question. After coaching and working with so many young couples, I realized something. They all struggle financially because they don't have a system. They don't have a plan that they can implement from step one to step five that helps them. So the saver system is an easy to implement system for every single couple.
Yes.
The S stands for secure your income. What that means is when I ask couples, I say, what is your most valuable prized asset that you have right now? A lot of them will say their car, the house. And then I say, have you thought about the fact that say your spouse is making $100,000 a year? And if something happened to your spouse, God forbid, they didn't come home, they had a car accident, something tragic happened, and you got two young kids, you would be missing out on that $100,000 salary for at least 20 years. So 100,000 times 20 is $2 million, folks. So you need to get life insurance. A lot of times when I'm coaching couples, they'll say, Michael, I got life insurance at work. I say, oh, so tell me right now, if your spouse stopped working after 1 year, could you live without that salary for the rest of your life? They say, no. Well, that's what your employer is offering you. It's only one time your salary. For the rest of the 19 years, you got to make up the difference. And that requires you to buy life insurance on the private market where you're buying life insurance, either term life or whole life, which people can join the free community to learn the difference. But the point is buy life insurance outside of work.
Yes.
Because when they fire you, you quit, You got zero coverage.
Zero.
And a little secret. When it's time for you to retire, when you're age 60, and you go down to HR and you ask them, hey, I'm about to retire, I'm age 60. How much is that life insurance group policy going to cost? They're going to look up the numbers. Oh, yeah, you gone. You don't work here no more. It's going to be a good $1,000, $1,500. You're going to say, what?
To continue. Yes.
Yes. So ask to make sure before you depend on it. So that's that. The next one is allocate your financial resources to the right financial investment based on your risk tolerance. Here's something I like to do when I'm teaching a marriage class. There's two people. There's Pessa and there's his neighbor. His neighbor invests in the S&P 500, getting a 9% rate of return. What does that mean? Say you got $10,000. The $10,000 will double every 8 years. So $10,000 becomes $20,000 8 years later. 8 years later, $20,000 becomes $40,000 year 16. And then $40,000 doubles to be worth $80,000 year 24. But if you're invested in bonds, it takes you 24 years for your money to double. So you're only going to have $20,000. And the difference is a big gap. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars over a lifetime. And most couples, they don't know what they're invested in, unfortunately. Yeah. So I say, make sure you check.
401k is just something that you don't know. It's there called 401k, but you don't know what's inside it.
Yes. And the answer I always get when I talk to couples, I say, hey, are you invested? Yeah, I'm invested. I say, okay, invested in what? Oh, Fidelity, my company takes care of it. I have a 401k. I said, that's good, but you might just be invested in 100% cash. And what does that mean? That means that right now, it's the equivalent of you taking $100. You take this $100, you go in the backyard, and you buried $100. Go back and dig it out 30 years later. Can you still buy the same candy bar, Doritos, chips, fast food with that? It's going to cost now, more, right?
Yeah, way more.
Way more. So don't end up being the person who's invested in cash and their money didn't make money for them. Their money didn't double every 8 years.
So that's the allocation.
Yeah.
And then
V is for vanquish high interest debt. If you have a credit card and your credit card company is charging you like 24% interest and you make the minimum payment on a $5,000 vacation, it's going to take you about 20 years to pay it off. That's enough time for you to have a child and your child to graduate from high school before you pay that thing off. Picture that.
And you already forgot that vacation.
You forgot that vacation. That $5,000 vacation, now after interest, is going to cost you $14,000. Yes.
Yeah.
So the bank is making money off of you. And then E stands for empower your tax savings. Get the free tax discounts. I don't know about you, but if I go to Lowe's or Home Depot to buy a new refrigerator or appliance and they got a coupon for 10% off, I'm going to save $500, $800, right?
Yeah, take it.
Well, the government is giving you free discount as well from an IRA. When you put your money, your extra investment money into a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, that money either grows tax-free or you pay tax on it when you invest the money and then you don't pay tax on the earnings. Or you put money and you invest it, the money will compound, earn money. And then when you take out a small percentage every year, when you reach your minimum retirement age, then that money will be taxed. Now, the question is, people say, okay, what's the difference between Robinhood account or me buying stocks on Cash App? Well, when you sell, you sold for a profit. That's just like you earn income for the year. So you're going to be taxed every year, every time you sell, if it's not in an IRA account, saying it's protected. It has to be in that.
So the IRA, in a way, protects it.
It does.
Okay.
And then the last one is reiterate financial literacy by reading books like this here, my book, Build Generational Wealth, Retire Early to Your Kids, by teaching your kids about money, by showing them how compound interest works, where 100,000 doubles to 200,000, 200,000 doubles to 400,000, and so forth. But yes. if a child is working age 16 or even before age 16, if a child has money from babysitting, money from doing chores, they can open up a child Roth IRA. They can put money in there and they can buy what's called the Vanguard VOO S&P 500. And yeah. now they are a business owner. They own Walmart. They own Walgreens. They own banks. They own Tesla. They own 500 of the best performing U.S. companies. And it only costs a couple of dollars to open up a child Roth IRA. So that's teaching your child how to invest in the stock market in an early age to own 500 businesses.
You know, that is actually a question I wanted to ask you, because a lot of parents want their kids to do better.
Yes.
But so how, and but most of them never teach their kids about money. How can you systematically teach the couples and the parents to teach their kids about money? And I guess you kind of answered that.
Yes, I did. And also, I just released a video you series on my YouTube yes. channel that has 4 episodes that's targeted towards young youth so that they can learn about how to invest, they can learn how to budget, they can learn the difference between borrowing money and saving money, and then so yes. that they can have a money mindset.
Yes, because that money mindset is what a lot of us from different cultures don't have. The money mindset, we have the helping mindset, like, okay, I gotta help. But at the end of the day, it seems like everybody just ends up in poverty. Like nobody is.
Yes, because it comes down to the system of teaching, right? Because
yes.
I guarantee you, if you have a church get together, how many yes. times are churches talking about personal finance, investing? Okay.
Nope.
Yep. Yes. They yes. have marriage ministry. They have yeah. the different retreats, but they never bring in a personal finance coach yes. who teaches. There's a yes. difference between teaching and sending somebody to go and buy services from a salesperson who gets okay. paid only when they sell you something.
So they're willing, they just want to sell you something.
Yes. Yeah. So not saying that there's something bad with it, but the type of information you're going to receive is different. You see, I teach, I tell yes. you, there's a saying, Pessa, you can feed a child a fish, right?
Yes.
And the child will eat for a day, right?
Yes.
If you teach the child how to fish, they can eat for a lifetime, right?
Yes, for a lifetime.
So if somebody teaches you the fundamentals of personal finance, you know yes. how to buy the right life insurance policy. You know the difference between a bond, a retirement target date fund, an ETF, a mutual fund, individual stocks. You know the difference. Yes. And now that you have that information of an IRA versus traditional, a child savings account versus a child Roth, now you're able to teach and help the next generation build generational wealth and avoid $700,000 financial losses because they didn't know.
Yes. And when you do the math, it starts small, but when you start telling me that it's going to double in 8 years, and you are having that long-term thinking, that becomes a big chunk of money that you basically just, you're going to miss if you didn't invest.
That's the point. Because imagine yes. this, your child is growing up, you put money in their custodial savings account, right? Which is a different yes. account. You put money in their custodial savings account, you put $100, grandma puts in $50. All this money is being used to buy stocks and that has an average return of 9%. Hypothetically, the child turns 18 and there's $5,000 in that account.
Yes.
Y'all stop putting money in. Guess what? By the time that child is age 66, the $5,000 is gonna compound to be worth $320,000 on average.
Wow. And they did not add anything to it.
No.
Money makes its own money.
Money makes money while you sleep.
Yeah. So what if a couple says right now, you know what, we like what you're telling us, but we are living paycheck to paycheck. How do we take this information and start using it in our family, although we are living paycheck to paycheck?
So I got 2 answers. One, I'm helping the everyday couple who's struggling financially, right? By yes. offering them access to something that's called 7-Day Stop Living Paycheck to Paycheck Challenge. And guess how much it costs? is free. All you got to do is go to michaeldillon.org, access the Saver Vault, and you, as that couple who's living paycheck to paycheck every day for the next 7 days, all you have to do is do a simple exercise. It'll take you about 3 to 5 minutes. And then eventually, after a week, you will start finding additional money to help you get out of that rat race of living paycheck to paycheck. That's option one. Option two is what couples can do is, before they get paid, go ahead and allocate some of that money towards investing for the future. The point is, it's easier said than done. But guess what? If you get a raise and say it's 3%, don't spend the money. Make that your extra money, because you was living without it, so you can survive without
it. Yeah, it didn't exist. It didn't exist until you got the raise.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, because if you don't control your money's going to control you.
Yes, you're right. And so what's the first conversation they should have before they even start doing the budgeting thing? Because we all hear budgeting, but it's always stories of people fighting when it comes to budgeting. What should they talk about first?
So that's why I have the Saver program, the 5 steps. They should say, what step are we on? Do we have life insurance? We don't. Let's get life insurance that's going to cover us, because having a GoFundMe for a funeral, that's not the way to go. You're married. Now you want to leave your spouse with debt. You got the new house, the picket fence, the new car. You pass away, and now they're struggling, trying to raise your child for the next 15, 20, 30 years without you. That's not a good picture, because if you're young in your mid-20s, you can buy term life insurance for like $30 for like $500,000 worth of coverage. It's not expensive at first. So you want to buy whole life. That'll cost you maybe it'll cost you $300 a month for a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of coverage. That's the first thing you need to do, because if something happens, the marriage is going to suffer, the kids are going to suffer, people are going to be financially ruined. So they need to do that. And then number two, like I said, they need to go and check their financial investments and invest for the future, because I don't know about you, but I don't plan on working until I'm 90. I don't want to know.
No.
So unless one person in the marriage says, look, I'm okay working at age 90, you can retire at age 60.
Yes.
So,
and sometimes even you might want to work, but they are not going to give you a job, because there's always these young guys who are willing to do more for less.
Exactly. That's the thing. You touched on something. Employers are laying people off all the time. They're trying to downsize. They want to bring in the new, cheaper labor. Now you're 55. They let you off. And now you're realizing you have nothing saved for the future, because you spent it on having a good time. You spent it going out to eat. You spent it on vacation because you said you had to have it. You had to have the new shoes. You had to have the new bag. You had to have the bigger house. You had to remodel the kitchen. You had to.
Yes, but you never thought about how much is coming in.
Yes, and so preparing for the future is actually easier than ever, because once again, think about it, $500 a month, 35 years, rate of return 9%, you will have $1.5 million, which means if you're married, that's $3 million that y'all have to enjoy life.
Yes. Now, another question that we get is, you know what? We like your message, but it's too late for us. Maybe for other people, but for us, we came to this country too late. Now we cannot do what you're saying. What would you tell somebody like that?
It's never too late. It's all about modeling great financial behavior. A lot of times parents will try and tell a child, do X, Y, and Z. The child will say, why? And then the parent will say, because I said so. However, if the child sees you get up in the morning and brush your teeth every single morning, the chances of them getting up in the morning and brushing their teeth is strong, because they see you do it. So if they hear you saying, look, I just invested some additional money in S&P 500. I just bought a bond. I just bought this ETF. Look, my account went up by 20%. I just made an additional $200 when I woke up from my financial investments, because I'm a business owner. When I bought these IT stocks or IT ETFs, I actually own part of the profit. And you too, you can become a business owner yourself.
Yes, Okay. And I like the fact that you brought up the whole concept of modeling, because we talk a lot about modeling, because what we say that you cannot choose where you are raised, you cannot choose who your parents were, your culture, all that. But you can start teaching the next generation and they can model from you so that they can inherit a different life from you, not what you got from your parents. So it's the same concept of modeling, yes. Because at the end of the day, where you came from, it's one thing, but where you are moving for the future that you are building for your kids and the next generation, the generational wealth, is what we need to focus on. So, and I like the way you address the whole concept of even if you are living paycheck to paycheck, you can go to the 7-day challenge in your website, michaeldiller.org, and that will get you out of the paycheck to paycheck rut and then start allocating, save, using the saver method.
Can I share something with the audience? Because they say easier said than done for you. Can I tell you a story? I grew up living paycheck to paycheck, grew up on food stamps. My mom was broke. We would go to the dollar store to go and buy school clothes. My tennis shoes came from the dollar store. The soles were plastic. So when it comes time to living paycheck to paycheck and then saying, you know what, I got to get out of this financial rat race by investing in my future, saving a couple of dollars today for a better tomorrow, because I've been there, I lived it.
And I like the fact that you already lived it, and just the fact that you lived that life, and you got to a point you became even a US diplomat. I mean, that huge movement that tells you that you are actually doing the things that you are teaching. Yes, because sometimes if you live that life of getting your even your school uniform from the dollar store, sometimes there's that feeling like, you know what, nothing will change and this is my life. And to have that much confidence to be a US diplomat, that says a lot about you.
Well,
And I like the
appreciate
fact,
that.
I like, so what if a couple is listening to you right now and other than feeling behind, they're just ashamed? What hope can you give them? Because you have already been that place where you're getting the shoes from the dollar store. So I bet there was that shame going on. How are you able to overcome that and actually be the person that we are looking up to you right now?
Yes, I say work with a financial coach. The reason why I say that is that I'm working with a lady right now. She's behind a little bit, struggling. She's not where she wants to be financially. But we were able to make small changes within her budget that did not cost her more money. So the benefit of working with somebody, they're able to look at your financial resources and say, look, you're doing good in this area right here. Make this immediate tweak now, and then a year or two, make these additional changes, and you'll be on track. You'll actually be ahead of everybody. And speaking of which, people who are feeling behind, who actually go and get help, actually end up ahead of everybody else, because everybody else, they're just playing a game. They're pretending. I'm gonna tell you why. Most people will say they wouldn't do this. If everybody was in the mall walking backwards. When you walk in the mall, would you start walking backwards?
No, I
People say
guess,
no. But you say, yeah,
but
yes, it depends, huh?
yeah.
Why does it depend?
It depends because sometimes you might start walking forward and then you're like, okay, hold on. What's going on here? Maybe there's a reason why everybody, and you might find yourself also walking backwards. I mean, it's human nature.
Okay, all right. So I say that to say that 75% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. What does that mean? That means most people, your neighbor, your cousin, they're all making the same wrong financial mistakes. So if you're willing to take time to do the free 7-day stop living paycheck to paycheck challenge, you're willing to read a book on personal finance. It can be my book, it doesn't matter. You can read other books. If you're willing to have a financial coach in your corner, you're going to be ahead of everybody else. And trust me, by the time you're age 72 and you're sitting at home retired, why all your friends are still going to work, all because you chose to spend an additional 1 or 2 hours a week for a few weeks to invest in your financial future, you will say it was worth it.
Amen. I like that. Just so to wrap up, where can people follow you, learn from you, and also get access to the 7-day Stop Living Paycheck to Paycheck Challenge?
Yes. So your listeners can go to michaeldillard.org, michaeldillard.org. When you go there, you're going to see lots of financial resources. You're going to have access to a financial community where others are coming together to build generational wealth. If you want to book a one-on-one call with me so that you can speed up your financial journey, you can access that within the Saver Vault as well. And if you want to listen to my podcast as well, the link is there on michaeldillard.org. The goal is to help 100 families stop living paycheck to paycheck.
I love that. I am very happy to have you, Michael, today. And I like your message because it's not only are we telling people that, hey, this is what we need to do, but you have the step-by-step, which is so important. You're taking away all the confusion and making it so easy for a lot of families to actually win with money. That's something very important.
Right. And to conclude, to bring it together is because it's the five steps that's going to help. You're married. Something happens to one of your partner. You still can survive. We got you covered. Yes. Now you've got money, you're investing, but you're investing in the right stock allocation that's appropriate for your risk tolerance, that instead of retiring with $700,000, you retire with $1.5 million. That's a big difference. Then you realize the value of saving by paying off high interest credit card debt. And then when you have extra money, you're investing more money, but you're getting a tax discount. And then the last step, you're talking about financial literacy by reading books. You're opening up a child Roth IRA or custodial savings account when your child is born. You are set using the five simple steps. You can relax, enjoy, and have fun under the sun.
Amen. Love it. Thank you very much, Michael. And look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.